طيب. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His slave servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-iznillahi ta'ala, we would like to discuss one of the important introductory topics to this course of how one may use your language, or English language in particular, in da'wah. And this topic, it is entitled The Characteristics of the Call. The Characteristics of the Call. I think it has already been presented, the other elements of the introductory points, the characteristics of those who are called, the mad'u, and likewise the characteristics of the da'iyah, the one who calls. So this topic, it is the third element of the three fundamental elements. It is the characteristics of the call itself. What is the thing that we are calling to? Indeed, it is of the essential elements that anyone has to be aware of if they intend or desire to engage in da'wah. Whoever wants to call to the way of Allah, then they have to know what is that way that they are calling to. The scholars of the people of Sunnah have discussed this topic, some of them in detail and some in passing. And there is basic agreement amongst those who adhere to the Quran and Sunnah that the characteristics of the call are those things which are known, and they are agreed upon by the scholars and the people who have knowledge alike. The first thing that we want to mention, it is the aim or the goal. What is the objective of da'wah? And it is mentioned that the aim or the goal or the objective of the da'wah, it is to spread the teachings of Islam as they were delivered to the people by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the pure teachings of Islam that are based upon the Qur'an and the authentic Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The presentation of this pure teaching of Islam, it has two objectives, two basic fundamental objectives. The first of them, it is to call the people who are not Muslims, to call them to Islam, to call them to Allah, to clarify what is this message, so that people have a chance to examine it and to choose it if their heart is pure and open and seeking the truth. The second objective, it is to clarify for those who have already entered into Islam, those who are already Muslims but who might have some misconceptions, some false ideas or practices that are not actually from the teachings of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been reported to have said, and this hadith, it is mentioned in a number of books, including the Sahih of Muslim, the Sunan of At-Tirmidhi, and the Sunan of Abu Dawood, and others, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna al-Islam بدع غريبا وسيعود غريبا كما بدع فتوبى للغرباء. Some of the narrations of this hadith are slightly different, but the meaning is basically the same, that Islam, the true Islam, it began ghariban, as something strange. Some of the scholars of Sunnah, in the explanation of this hadith, and particularly Al-Qadi Iyad, rahimahullah, said in his explanation of this hadith that the meaning of Islam began gharib, strange, it means that it began amongst a few individuals, a small number of people. Because there were a small number of people, just a few, in a society where they were completely different in the way they acted, in the way they worshipped, in the way they believed, so they were strange. They were the ghuraba. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, just as Islam began in this condition, it will return to that condition once again. However, don't fear and don't worry. If you are from amongst those who are strange, in the world today, where Muslims are millions or billions, don't feel concerned about the fact that you are strange, even amongst the Muslims, not those who are strange in the land of Kufr, but those who are strange even amongst the Muslims, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prophesied that that condition of there being only a few people, few in number, who are actually adhering to the pure Islam as he had delivered it based on the Quran and Sunnah, that we will return to this condition. However, he said Tuba lil ghuraba, and some of the scholars of tafsir said that Tuba, it means a tree in Jannah. That means it is a promise that those who adhere to this deen, the pure Islam, in belief and in practice and in manners and behavior and conduct and in worship, whoever adheres to it, then they are promised a place in paradise. In some of the narrations of this hadith, and Sheikh Muhammad Nasruddin Al-Albani, rahimahullah, in his Silsila Hadith Al-Sahiha, he narrated this hadith and said that there is an authentic narration in which it is reported that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made this statement, they said, Ya Rasulullah, men whom, Ya Rasulullah, who are these ghuraba, strange people, yani who will be different, who will be strange in the society that they live in? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Alladhina yasluhuna idha fasada an-nas. The narration that you have in front of you, the wording is slightly different, and perhaps even the meaning is different. But what I have mentioned here is that which has been confirmed as being authentic. Alladhina yasluhuna idha fasada an-nas. Yani those who will be righteous, who will be pious, who would adhere to the deen when the people have been corrupted. The narration that you have in front of you suggests the meaning that not only they themselves would be acting good, but also they would correct and rectify and purify others, that they would work on the reformation of other people. And that meaning, it is definitely true that those who are following the correct Islam, they will not be satisfied to worship Allah alone, and then they will not call others to that worship of Allah alone, and that they will not correct the others who have deviated from that path. It is of necessity that those who know the right way, who believe in Allah correctly and worship Allah alone and call to Tawheed, that they have to do this work of rectifying the society. Therefore, we have been promised that Islam began in this condition of strangeness, with only a few people adhering to the pure teachings that require the worship of Allah alone and the avoidance of worshipping or associating anything along with Allah, shirk. And it will return to that condition, and we can see it today, wallahu alam. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us to know that the goal or the objective of our da'wah, it is to call to this way, one way, the pure Islam, that is that which was delivered by our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Surah Al-Nahl, chapter 16, verse 125, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Udu ila sabili rabbik. Udu ila sabili rabbik. Call or invite to the way of your Lord. What are we calling to? We are calling to the way of our Lord, the way of Allah, al-Islam. The scholars of tafsir, like Al-Imam Abu Ja'far, Muhammad Ibn Jarir, At-Tabari, Rahimahullah, in his tafsir of the Quran, and he is considered to be the Imam, or the leaders of the scholars of tafsir. He said concerning this verse, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to call the people, those people to whom he have been sent with, to call them to obedience to Allah, to call them to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said that this expression, ila sabili rabbik, it means ila shari'ati rabbika. It means to call people to the sharia, the divine law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that which he has legislated for his creatures, that which Allah has legislated for his creatures. He said, وَهُوَ الْإِسْلَامِ. It is Islam. This Islam that we are to call to, we have to know what is it. The way of your Lord, it is Islam. But is it the Islam that we find in the world today, amongst many of the people, especially outside of the Arab lands and even in the Arab countries? The further we got away from the Arab lands, the place where Islam began, where the message of the Prophet ﷺ was founded, and the further we get away from the Arabic language, we find that the deviation from Islam is increased more and more. What though if we find that even in the Arabic lands, even in the Arabian Peninsula, that there's deviation from the deen of Allah, the pure teachings of the Quran and Sunnah? Therefore it is incumbent upon us to know what is this Islam, the real Islam. Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Ali al-Shawkani, rahimahullah, in his tafsir of the Quran, Fathul Qadir, he said that in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to call his ummah to Islam. He said, "Udu'u ila sabili rabbik." And here he said, Al-Imam al-Shawkani said, that those whom he is ordered to call have not been mentioned. Udu'u men, call men. Allah has not mentioned. He said this is so that it will be general, that it will be all-inclusive. It means that he is to call all of the people, because he is sent to the whole of humanity. In fact, he is sent to men and jinn. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not mentioned in this ayat who he is to call. He is to call the whole of humanity. And he said, Sabeelullah huwa al-Islam. Yani the same thing that Al-Imam al-Tabari said, that the way of Allah, it is Islam. So what is this Islam? As some of the contemporary scholars said, like Shaykh Abdurrahman al-Sa'adi, rahimahullah, in his tafsir, he said that the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to call the creation, the Muslims and the kafirs. The Muslims as well as the kafirs. That means that the da'wah is not limited to calling non-Muslims. It is also da'wah to the Muslims. The da'wah to the Muslims is to call them back to the pure religion. And the da'wah to the disbelievers is to call them to Islam, to inform them what is Islam. He said, call to the way of your Lord, the straight way of your Lord, which includes al-ilm al-nafi' wal-amal al-salih. The straight way of your Lord, which has these two requirements. It requires the person to have beneficial knowledge. And knowledge is essential. And it requires that a person do righteous deeds, those deeds which are in accordance with that knowledge. It is not sufficient that a person is righteous in doing good deeds, trying to do so many good things, but they are not acting based on knowledge. And it is not sufficient just to gather and collect and compile information without acting in accordance with it. But everyone who learns is required also to act in accordance with it. The great scholar of our time, Sheikh Abdul Aziz ibn Abdullah ibn Baz, rahimahullah, said in an essay dealing with this matter of a da'wah, he said, the way of Allah, it is submission, the straight path, the religion of Allah, which he has sent his messenger with. This is the religion of Allah. It is submission. It is the straight path. It is that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with. Therefore we have to know what he has brought. We have to go back to the original sources and know what is it that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam believed in. How did he believe in Allah? How did he worship Allah? How did he act with the people? In order to know what is the true way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh says, and this is very important, he said, therefore this is what must be called to. Not to the madhab of such and such person, nor the opinion of any individual. We are not calling to the madhab of anyone, nor to the opinion of anyone, whoever he may be. But we are calling to the truth, the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wherever it may be. and with whomever it may be. And that doesn't mean that we don't respect those individuals who have made great effort for the sake of Allah and for the service of the deen of Islam, and that we don't respect the scholars whose madahib or schools of law have been founded in the early generations and established, and the people are following them until today. Indeed, we respect them and we honor them and we follow them, but we follow them based on evidence. Where they have erred on any opinion or any matter, and they are human beings, they are not free of error, then we don't follow the error. But where they have given the correct opinion based on evidences, for those who are able to examine them, then it is required to follow what they have called us to and what they have pointed out for us. However, we are not following specifically any particular individual or the call of any personality. Then the Shaykh says, the way of Allah is that which the noble Quran and the pure authentic Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam directs one to. And this is clear, that is based on the Quran and the Sunnah. He said, it is necessary for the Muslim da'i, the one who calls to Allah, to call the people to the whole of Islam. And this is important for those who are involved in da'wah, that we are not calling simply to the establishment of Islamic government. We are not calling simply to the establishment of the Islamic social system. We are not calling simply to any particular or individual aspect of Islam, to the exclusion of the rest of it. But we are calling to the whole of Islam. All of it is required. Not only one part of it or some parts of it. Even if there are priorities, there is no doubt about it. However, we cannot make our call based on one aspect of Islam to the exclusion of the rest of the deen of Allah. But the whole of the deen of Allah is the source and it is the base of our call. And the Shaykh said that, and not to cause division amongst them, nor to be a blind follower of a madhab, a tribe, a sheikh or a leader. Yani, we are not to cause division amongst the people with our call. Yani, it is not our intention to cause division, and we should try to avoid it without compromising the call to Allah, without compromising it as much as possible. As much as possible, we should avoid making division and dispute and conflict amongst the Muslims. But we should try to get along with one another and cooperate with one another in that which is right and that which is correct. And that which is wrong, we should advise one another and we should be patient with one another. Because as long as the other people who you might differ with on some matter, as long as they are Muslims and they remain in Islam and they have not gone out of Islam, then at least they have some rights over you as a brother in Islam. Therefore, the da'iyah has to be sensitive to this and not to agitate and aggravate the situation and cause further divisions. But what is required of us is to try to unite the people based on truth, based on that which is right, and not to compromise the deen of Allah. Rather, his aim should be to affirm and clarify the truth and establish people upon that truth, even if it contradicts the opinion of so and so or such and such person. And we are not concerned about whose opinion is contradicted by the truth. If it is clear, based on what the scholars have clarified for us, that this is the true Islam with evidence from the Quran and authentic Sunnah, if it contradicts anyone's opinion, the imams of the madahib, the imams of the four schools and others who were before them and those who came after them never claimed that you should follow my opinion even if it is against the Quran and Sunnah. On the contrary, they have informed the people that if my opinion contradicts the authentic Sunnah, then throw my opinion against the wall. Get rid of it, reject it, abandon it, because my opinion is that which is authentic from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The call to Islam, meaning the Quran and Sunnah, should be in accordance with the understanding of the early righteous generations of the Muslims, that is, the Salaf al-Salih, the righteous predecessors, those who came before us, primarily from amongst the first generation, that is the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wa radiyallahu anhum ajma'in, and those who followed them and learned from them, the tabi'un, and those who came after them, atba' tabi'in. These first three generations particularly and exclusively, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is the one who gave them accreditation. He is the one who declared their correctness, and that these are the best of people in the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he said, khairun nasi qarni, the best of people is my generation. They are the best of people, meaning the Sahaba, they are the best of people. They are the best of people. There is no doubt about it. ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ Then those who came after them, that is التابعون, and those who came after them, أتباع تابعين. Therefore the Prophet ﷺ, he is the one who has directed us to look to these people as an example, to follow their way and their understanding and their practice, and that which they have transmitted from the early generation, from the time of the Prophet ﷺ and those who immediately followed them. Therefore we are required to examine what these first generations of the Muslims understood and the way that they practiced Islam in order to go back to the pure teachings of Islam as it was delivered by the Prophet ﷺ in the beginning. As there is only one way of Allah, there is only one way, there is not more than one way. That is the religion of Allah, Islam. There is only one way to follow that religion. The Prophet ﷺ did not leave behind him a multitude of different ways to follow Islam. Divisions and differences are not blessings, as some would claim, based on fabricated narrations attributed to the Prophet ﷺ. Indeed, division, it is rejected and it is blameworthy. Division is rejected and it is blameworthy. And no one from amongst the Muslims should seek division, but we should seek unity and brotherhood as long as it doesn't require us to compromise the truth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, in Surah Ar-Rum, chapter 30, verses 31 and 32, وَلَا تَكُونُ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ وَلَا تَكُونُ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ Don't be from amongst the pagan disbelievers. Allah is prohibiting us from being like those people who have rejected Him, who have disbelieved in Him, and who have worshipped something along with Him or other than Him. He said, وَلَا تَكُونُ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ مِنَ الَّذِينَ فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ What is their characteristic that he wants to emphasize here? It is those who have divided up their religion. They have separated amongst themselves. He said, don't have this characteristic. Don't be like the pagan disbelievers, even though we are believers. But if we are doing what they have done, then we are like them. He said, don't be from amongst the pagan disbelievers, those who have divided up their religion. وَكَانُوا شِيعًا They were divided into sects. كُلُّ حِزْبٍ بِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ فَرِحُونَ That every party from amongst them, every sect and group from amongst them, is rejoicing in that which they have. Yani to the exclusion of others. Every group separating themselves from other people who are not in their group. Those people are not with us. They are not part of us. We are the special ones. And we are, what we have is the best. Allah has blamed this. He has blamed the people who have fallen into this. He has rejected this. Don't divide yourself up into groups and parties, separating from one another, disputing with one another, fighting one another. But advise one another if one is in error. Advise and consult and counsel and try to participate or to help one another and to cooperate with one another in that which is good. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى That we should cooperate with one another in righteousness and piety. Also, it has been mentioned here, the hadith, or the verse of the Quran, followed by the hadith, which supports this meaning, and that is, that which makes us to understand that our following of the correct way requires of us, not only to adhere to the Qur'an and Sunnah, but to examine our understanding of the Qur'an and Sunnah and measure it in light of the understanding of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So here we have mentioned the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 115, وَمَنْ يُشَاكِكِ الرَّسُولِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَىٰ وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ That whoever opposes the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whoever opposes him and contradicts him and goes into that which is against what he has brought, min ba'di ma tabayyana lahu al-huda, after the guidance has become clear. Not those who are ignorant and who don't know, they are not blameworthy, but we are blameworthy if we don't inform them, if we don't deliver the message to them and make clear to them the true guidance. But after the guidance has become clear, those who oppose the way of the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after it has become clear, وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ And they follow a way other than the way of the mu'mineen. They follow a way other than the way of the mu'mineen. The mu'mineen, it means the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The mu'mineen at the time when the Qur'an was revealed, it means the sahaba, those who were the believers, who believed in him, who were with him. When the Qur'an was revealed, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, whoever follows a way other than the way of the believers, he is talking about sahaba, radiallahu anhum ajma'in. So whoever opposes the Prophet, and that was sufficient, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for a wisdom that He knows best why He has mentioned it, but it is at least clear to us part of that wisdom, it is to make us to know that we are required not only to be in agreement with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but also to be in agreement with the way, the sabeel al-mu'mineen, the way of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whoever opposes their way, whoever opposes the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and follows a way other than the way of Sahaba, نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى وَنُسْلِهِ جَهَنَّمْ وَسَاعَتْ مَصِيرًا, then we will turn him to that which he turns himself to that which he prefers. If he prefers to go against the way of Sahaba, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we will turn him to that which he turns himself, and we will admit him into Jahannam, into the hellfire, and evil is it as a destination. It is reported authentically from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu. He has reported that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day gave them a demonstration of the reality that the deen of Allah, it is one way. There's only one way. There are not many ways, all of them leading to the same destination. No, there's one way, and all other ways are deviation. The companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abdul ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, he said, khatta lana rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam khattan, that he drew a line for us. He drew one line in the sand, a straight line, and then he drew other lines. He said, after drawing this line, hadha sabilullah, this is the way of Allah. Then he made other lines, khututan, on the right and on the left. On the right of that line, more lines. And on the left of that line, more lines. And he said, هَذِهِ subulun. These are ways. Ways. This one, it is the way of Allah. Sabilullah. And the others are subul. At the head of every one of them is the shaitan calling to it. All of those ways have a shaitan calling to them, calling the people to deviation, to go astray. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that there is only one way. This straight way is the way of Allah, and all other ways are the ways of shaitan. Then he read this verse, وَأَنَّ هَذَا الصِّرَاطِ مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلْ فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ. Yani here in this verse, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave a demonstration of this verse and the command of Allah, that Allah's way is one. It is a straight way. هَذَا صِرَاطِ مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوا. Therefore, you are ordered, you are commanded to follow it, this one way. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلْ. And don't follow the other ways, the ways that are on the right and that are on the left, with the shaitan calling to them. Don't follow the other ways, because those ways would cause you to be separated and to be divided from the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This hadith proves that the way is only one. And the great scholar Al-Allama Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah commented on this as follows. He said, this is because the path leading to Allah is only one. And it is what He sent His messengers on and sent His books with. No one reaches Him except along this path. No one can reach Allah except they travel on this path. Other paths will not take you to Allah. The other paths are the paths of shaitan. Even if people take every path and try to open every door, these paths will be blocked and the doors will be locked, with the exception of this one path. For it is connected to Allah and it leads to Him. It is reported authentically that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, تَفَرَّقَتْ الْيَهُودِ عَلَىٰ إِحْدَى وَسَبَعِينَ فِرْقًا, that the Jews were divided into 72 sects. And this narration, or this hadith, has a number of narrations with different wordings. However, the meaning of all of them is the same, that the Jews would be divided into 71 sects. وَتَفَرَّقَتْ النَّصَارَى إِلَىٰ إِثْنَتَيْنِ أَوْ ثِنْتَيْنِ وَسَبَعِينَ فِرْقًا, and the Christians would be divided into 72 sects. وَسَتَفْتَرِقْ أمتي على 73 فرقة كله في النار إلا واحدة قالوا وما هي يا رسول الله قال هي الجماعة. يعني the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made it clear, and this is also a reality that we cannot deny and that we have to accept. It is the qadr of Allah that the people of the past nations were divided into many sects. They were separated amongst themselves, the Jews into 71 sects, the Christians into 72 sects. And he said, my ummah would also be divided into 73 sects. All of them, all of it would be in the fire except one. They said, what is that one? He said, al-jama'ah. Yani the group, the people who stick together based on the truth, who stick together and adhere to the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, as that first jama'ah, the first group that is the Sahaba. The Sahaba, they are the jama'ah, the first group. And every other group who follows their way, they are the jama'ah. Those who stick to the truth and who stick together based on the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In some of the narrations of this hadith, when they ask who is that one or which is that one that would be saved, the one sect from amongst the 73 sects, all of them deserving punishment in the fire, all of them deserving punishment in the fire. However, not all of them have gone out of Islam. As some of the scholars said, that these sects have not gone out of Islam. These are those who deserve to be punished because of their deviation and their disobedience. However, if Allah wills, He may forgive them, as long as they have not died on shirk. Because Allah doesn't forgive shirk, however, He forgives everything that is less than that. Therefore, these are those who deserve the punishment. But Allah may forgive them if He wills, or He may punish them out of His justice. As for that one that is saved, that one sect which would be saved, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Huwa ma ana alayhi al-yawma ashabi." That one, it is the one that is following the way which I am upon today. The way that I and my companions are upon. In this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam confirmed the meaning of the earlier ayah. That way, whoever follows it is required to follow him, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also to consider the practice and the way and the understanding of his companions. Ma ana alayhi al-yawm wa ashabi. It was sufficient for him to say that the one who will be saved is the one who is following that which I am upon, who travels the path that I have traveled. However, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indicated in that ayat, that it is not sufficient just to follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but what is required is that we also follow the way and understanding of his companions, those of his students who he has taught and explained the way clearly to them. The next point which is of importance, it is priority. That indeed, there are some aspects of Islam which are more critical, which are more essential or important than others. Therefore, it is incumbent upon us to consider that which is the most important and to give it priority over that which is less important. For this reason, if we examine the fact that the first pillar of Islam, it is the shahada of La ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammad Rasulullah. And the first pillar of Iman, it is al-Iman billahi, that we have to believe in Allah alone and worship Him alone. So if we understand that the first pillar of Islam and the first pillar of Iman, it is the testimony of La ilaha illallah and believing in Allah alone, then this makes us to know the importance of this call to Tawheed and the establishment of a Tawheed and the warning against Shirk, that it is the most important thing. Indeed, the Shirk, it is the only thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not forgive. Therefore, this is what has to be emphasized, because anything less than that, it is not equally important. Indeed, those who commit sins in other areas, Allah might forgive them or He might punish them for them for some time if they die on Tawheed. However, those who die on Shirk, no matter what else they have done, they will be destined for eternal punishment in the hellfire. This idea of giving priority to that which is more important over that which is less important is mentioned in the authentic hadith, which is well known, the hadith of the missioning of Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu to Yemen, in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed him that you are going to a people from the Ahl Kitab, so let the first thing, فَلْيَكُنْ أَوَّلَ مَا تَدْعُمْ إِلَيْهِ أَنْ تُوَحِدُ اللَّهِ. Or in some of the narrations, شَهَادَةٍ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Yani the first thing that your da'wah should focus upon, it is the establishment of the tawheed of Allah, the worship of Allah alone and the avoidance of a shirk, or calling people to the testimony that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone. If they accept this, he said, then let them know that Allah has made obligatory on them the five prayers of the day, in a day and a night. And if they practice this and they observe it, then tell them that Allah has made obligatory on them as zakat, a charity, an obligatory charity on their wealth. And these two things, as salat and as zakat, are the two most important of the pillars of Islam after the testimony of La ilaha illallah. And this shows then that the most important thing is the tawheed. And that which follows is the salat and the zakat. And then that which follows should be called to in order. Therefore, one should emphasize and give importance to that which is the most important thing, and then that which is also important, and then that which is less important, and so on. Indeed, that the call to Tawheed should be in consideration of that which many of the scholars of Sunnah have explained as being the various aspects of a Tawheed. And in Tawheed, it is the concept of the uniqueness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He is one, alone and unique. Not that He is just one in number, but He is unique. There is nothing like Him. There is no one equal to Him. There is nothing comparable to Him. And no one shares with Him in those things which are His exclusive rights. And the first of them is that He alone is the Rabb, Rabbul Alameen. There is no one who shares with Him in this Rububiyyah. Therefore, this is one aspect of a Tawheed, that we acknowledge that Allah is the only Creator, that He is the only Provider, the only one who gives life and death, and the only one who controls the affairs of the universe. Therefore, He is the Rabb alone, and there is no one who shares with Him in this right. After that, it is the Tawheed of Asma wa Sifat, the names of Allah, the beautiful names of Allah, and the divine perfect qualities or characteristics that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is described with. And no one shares with Him in these things. No one shares with Him. Even if somebody is named with a name, like one of the names of Allah. Allah is Al-Aleem, and somebody might be Aleem. And Allah is Al-Hakim, and somebody might be Hakim, and so on. However, they share with Him the expression, the name that they are called by, but not in the quality that it indicates for Allah. But what it indicates for Allah is different than what it indicates in the imperfect human being. So these names and the qualities, characteristics or descriptions that we describe Allah with based on what is in the Quran and the Sunnah are exclusive for Allah alone, and nobody can share with Him in that. Therefore, this is another aspect of a Tawheed. Tawheed in the names of Allah and His characteristics or qualities. If we understand that Allah is the only Creator and Protector and Provider and the one who controls life and death, and He is the one who is perfect in the beautiful names that He is called by and the characteristics that He has described by, then this is the proof that He alone deserves to be worshipped. And this is the third aspect of a Tawheed that is identified in the Qur'an, in innumerable ayats in the Qur'an, from the beginning of the Qur'an to the end of it, from Surah Al-Fatiha to Surah Al-Nas. And in between, these aspects of Tawheed are very clear in the Qur'an as well as in the Sunnah. And this aspect of Tawheed, it is Tawheed Al-Ubudiyyah, or Tawheed Al-Uluhiyyah, or Tawheed in Ibadah, that the worship should be given only to Allah alone. The next point, briefly, is that whatever subject the da'wah may begin with, whether it is hijab or terrorism or polygamy, etc., a conscious effort should be made to divert the topic ultimately to that of at-tawheed. The reasoning for this is that if the person accepts tawheed, whatever they fall short in after that, it is not going to be ultimately total destruction. If they accept Tawheed and they acknowledge it and they act on it, even if they sin, even if they practice innovative practices, those things Allah might punish them for, He may forgive them. But even if they are punished, they will only stay in that punishment for some time as long as Allah wills, and then they would enter the paradise. Whereas those who reject Tawheed and who fall into shirk, no matter how many good deeds they do, how kind they are, how truthful they are, whatever they might do, it will be useless to them in the next life. In this world, Allah is just and He rewards the people for what they have done of good. However, in the next life, those who have rejected Tawheed and who have fallen into shirk, they will not get any reward in the next life, but they will be in the hellfire eternally. Therefore, the emphasis has to be on Tawheed. Whatever we talk about, we have to go back to Tawheed, because it's only if we convince the people of Tawheed that they can be saved. The example, a classical example of the diversion in da'wah, can be seen in the case of the Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam in prison with two prisoners who asked him to interpret their dreams. And the ayat are mentioned here concerning this. What is important is that this narration shows us that the Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, that he was among some people and they were asking him about something, the interpretation of dreams that they had. But he wanted to answer their question while at the same time bringing them back to that which is more important than the interpretation of their dream, that is the Tawheed. Therefore, in the course of this discussion with Yusuf alayhi salam, he answered their question or their request and he interpreted their dreams. However, he also made them to know. in his words where he said, إِنِّي تَرَكْتُ مِلَّةَ قَوْمٍ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَهُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ كَافِرُونَ, that I have left the religion or the way of a people who do not believe in Allah and they are disbelievers in the next life. Those who do not believe in Allah and also they are disbelievers in the next life. That there is an accounting, that people will be resurrected and they will be called to account. He said, I have rejected that. وَاتَّبَعْتُ مِلَّةَ آبَائِي إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْحَاقَ وَيَقُوبَ مَا كَانَ لَنَا أَن نُشْرِكَ بِاللَّهِ مِن شَيْءٍ, that I have followed the millah or the way or the religion of my fathers Ibrahim and Ishaq and Yaqub alayhi salam, and we were not of those who associated anything at all with Allah, but we established the tawheed. ذَلِكَ مِن فَضْلِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْنَا وَعَلَى النَّاسِ وَلَكِنْ أَكْفَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَشْكُرُونَ. This is the favor of Allah, the establishment of tawheed and iman in Allah alone. That is a fadl, a favor of Allah that He has given to us, and also that He has given to the people if they accept it. However, most people are not thankful. They are not thankful, meaning they don't accept it. They don't accept to worship Allah alone. Then he said to them, O my two companions in the prison, he asked them a question to bring out the point of the reality that only Allah deserves to be worshipped. He said, أَرْبَابٌ مُتَفَرِّقُونَ خَيْرٌ أَمِ اللَّهُ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَحَّارُ, yani, is it those lords or those gods that have been made up, that are many, that are diverse, that are weak and helpless, that cannot give any benefit and cannot cause any harm, or are they better, or Allah the one who is irresistible, who has power over everything? Think about it. Those are many different shapes and types. There are trees and there are stones and there are animals and there are people, and there are so many things that they are worshipping, and they are helpless, and they cannot cause any harm, and they cannot bring any benefit. Is it better to worship them or Allah, who is one, who is unique, who has power over everything? Then he said to them also, مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِهِ إِلَّا أَسْمَاءً سَمَّيْتُمُوهَا أَنْتُمْ وَآبَاؤُكُمْ, that what you are worshipping is nothing more than names that you and your fathers have made up. You have named them gods, and they are not really gods. They are nothing but names. They have no reality in terms of uluhiyah. In terms of their right to be worshipped and their divinity, they have no reality at all. They are merely names. And you can name them whatever you want to name them, but it doesn't change the reality that they are nothing but creation that are under the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and have no power whatsoever. مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ بِهَا مِن سُلْطَانٍ, Allah has not given any authority for the worship of such. إِنِ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ أَمَرَ أَن أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ ذَلِكَ الدِّينُ الْقَيِّمُ وَلَكِنْ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. He said, indeed, the hukm, the ruling, is for Allah alone, and He is the one who has ordered you not to worship anything except Him. And that is the straight religion, the right way, but most of the people do not know. The last point, or next to the last point, it is the importance that we should keep in mind that our objective is not necessarily the conversion of whoever we call to Islam, but what is more important, and that which is what we are responsible for, it is the delivering of the message. Delivering a clear message to the people that don't know about Islam. As for converting the people and convincing them to enter into Islam, this is something that only Allah has power over. We don't have the ability to do so, but what we are required to do is to deliver the message. Therefore, if we find that we have called the people and we have conveyed the message properly, then we should not be concerned and we should not be worried and we should not be depressed if the people don't immediately accept Islam. But what is required is that we deliver the message clearly and that we emphasize the essence of Islam, the basis of the call of Islam, and that is Tawheed. The last point, it is related to interfaith dialogue. And it is mentioned that the interfaith dialogues, conversations, conventions, meetings between leaders of various religions coming together, calling to the idea that we should all work together and cooperate with one another and be friendly with one another and not try to convert one another. Because all of the religions are good, and all of them are equal, and all of them are calling to the same thing and leading to the same destination. Therefore, there's no need for this conflict and tension and fighting between the various religions and people trying to convert people from other religions. But in fact, what we should do is live together, peaceful coexistence. This is a false idea which is very dangerous. And a Muslim should be aware of it and be careful. If we remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated categorically, clearly, that which makes it clear for everyone, and there's no doubt remaining after it, إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ, that the deen with Allah, it is Islam. As for the people, they might have whatever they want as their deen, but that which is with Allah, that is acceptable to Allah, it is only Islam. Allah does not accept Christianity. Even if people want to say that it is the Adyan, the Samawiyya, or whatever, heavenly religions, the religions of monotheism, Christianity and Judaism, the reality is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it clear that the deen with him, it is only Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمْ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينَ, that today I have perfected for you your deen. It is perfect, complete. And I have completed my favor upon you. And I have chosen for you Islam. يعني رَضِيتُ لَكُمْ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينَ, that Allah is saying, I am pleased with Islam as your deen. Allah is, He said that Islam is the deen that He is pleased to be for you. Allah has chosen Islam for you. It is not for you then to choose something else. Nobody has a right to choose other than Islam when Allah, the Lord of the world, the creator of all of the human beings, He has chosen for us Islam. Then is it for anyone after that to make a choice of something else? Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in another place, وَمَا يَبَتَغِ غَيْرُ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا, that whoever seeks other than Islam as a deen, فَلَا يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَاتِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ, that it would never be accepted from him. On Yawm al-Qiyamah, it will not be accepted. Allah will not accept Judaism. He will not accept Christianity. He will not accept Hinduism or Buddhism or any other ism or any other religion or any other philosophy. فَلَا يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ, it will never be accepted from him. And in the next life, in the hereafter, he will be of the losers. Therefore, it is upon us to be aware of this false concept and this false call that people are calling to, that all of the religions are calling to good. Indeed, Allah doesn't accept anything but Islam. Indeed, Christianity and Judaism specifically, not to mention those religions which have no basis originally in truth. At least those religions, they have a basis in truth. Yani originally, they were based upon a message that came to a true prophet. And that message which they brought, it was Islam, it was Tawheed. However, they have distorted it. And they have deviated from the correct way, and Allah doesn't accept that distorted religion. Not from them, nor from us. And that's why the Muslim has to call others to Islam and call the Muslims to the correct Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and we'll close with this comment in the hadith that is reported in the Sahih of Muslim, وَالَّذِي نَفْسُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِهِ, I swear by the one in whose hand is the soul of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is not taking the matter lightly of swearing by Allah. Indeed, he has warned us against this swearing often or regular without need. He has warned against it. However, if he has sworn by Allah, know that the matter is serious. وَالَّذِي نَفْسُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِهِ لَا يَسْمَعُ بِي أَحَدٌ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ يَهُودِيٌ وَلَا نَصْرَانِيٌ ثُمَّ يَمُوتُ وَلَمْ يُؤْمِنْ بِالَّذِي أُرْسِلْتُ بِهِ إِلَّا كَانَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ النَّارِ, I swear by the one in whose hand is the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that there is no one who hears about me, who hears about what I have brought, the message that he has brought. There is no one who hears about me from this ummah. And this ummah, it is ummah al-da'wah. It is the ummah, the whole of the earth, all of the people that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have been sent to. The whole of the earth, ummah al-da'wah. The Ummat al-Ijaba, it is those who have accepted his message. But here he is talking about the whole of humanity. There is no one who hears about me. Min hadhihi al-Ummah, Yahudiyun wala Nasrani. Not even a Jew or a Christian, whose religion is based originally on truth. Thumma yamut, and he dies after he has heard about me. Walam yu'min billadhi ursiltu bihi, and he has not believed in that which I have been sent with. Illa kana min ashab al-Nar, except that he would definitely be of the companions of the fire. Therefore, it is our responsibility to carry this weight, that whoever hears this message and dies without believing in it, know for sure they will be in the hellfire. Therefore, we are carrying a heavy responsibility. Every Muslim is required to call to the way of Allah, knowing that no other way is acceptable to Allah, and that Allah is pleased with Islam only as his deen, and that whoever desires other than that, Allah will never accept it, and that whoever hears about this message and dies without believing in it, they would definitely be in the hellfire. Then what is the responsibility that we are carrying? No, for sure it is severe. It is a heavy weight. And in order for us to carry that weight, we have to learn and seek knowledge and act on it ourselves and supplicate to Allah, asking His help to deliver this message and to fulfill the mission that He has sent His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said to one of His companions, he said, indeed, I love you. And he said, don't ever leave off saying after every salat these words, Allahumma a'inni ala zikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. That means that we are required to ask for Allah's help in every matter, especially the important things. A'inni ala zikrika. Oh Allah, help me to remember you. Wa shukrika, and to be thankful to you. If I remember you, then after that also help me to be thankful for all the favors that you have given. The greatest of them is Islam and Iman and Tawheed. Wa ala husni ibadatik. And that I worship you in the best way. Not just to worship, but husni ibadatik. That I worship you in the best way. Not just standing in the prayer lazily as the hypocrites do, with our mind roaming and thinking about something else, or just performing the acts of worship because they have to be done, because we're in that society where the people are doing it, but actually perfecting the worship of Allah. We have to ask Allah's help for this, and that's why He told us in the Quran, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. It is you alone that we worship, but to worship you we need your help. Therefore you alone we seek help from. Every Muslim must seek help from Allah, supplicate Him frequently and often, and try to deliver this message with the help of Allah based on knowledge and based on the reality of the weight that we are carrying, that if we don't deliver the message, then it will not be delivered. If we don't fulfill this mission, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will replace us with those who will not be like us. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. There are 2 minutes remaining. If there's any question or any comment or any correction. No. Amongst the Muslims. He said, my ummah. No, that is different. That hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is talking about the people whom he is sent to call. That is the whole of humanity, men and jinn. That is different. That ummah, it means the whole of the humanity whom lived after the missioning of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As for the previous hadith, 73 sects, that he said, Sataftarak ummati ala thalathin wa sab'ina firqa. That means he is talking about the ummah of ummatul ijaba. That is those who have accepted his message, they would be divided. Because he said before that the Jews would be divided into 71 sects. And the Christians would be divided into 72 sects. And my ummah here, it means then the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those who have accepted his message. Allahu a'lam. Naam.
I want to ask one question. When we speak Allah is unique.
Naam.
It asks by whose mode of people. My concern is clear. I want to ask you how to satisfy these people. I know from the hadith that Allah has seen us. Concept of that people is we cannot give any reference for Allah like this, that Allah has finger, Allah has foot. So how to satisfy these people?
We cannot give any reference? We can give reference. How can we not give reference? The scholars of Islam have written on this subject in detail. Okay, the question, for the benefit of the sisters, the brother is asking the question about Allah being unique, and that we say that Allah has hands, and that Allah has the foot, and Allah has the face, and so on. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have said about himself in the Quran, and as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have described him with in authentic hadith, we say what Allah has said, and this is the aqidah of the Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. And of course, when I say Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, perhaps some people may misunderstand this, because I have been told that in India, the people who worship the graves call themselves Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So we don't mean the people who are worshipping graves. We mean the people who follow the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ and who stick together based on the truth. They have made it clear. They have made it clear that our aqeedah, it is that we confirm as descriptions and qualifications or qualities that Allah may be described with, we confirm whatever He has said about Himself. Whatever He has described Him with, we accept it. He knows better than anyone how He should be described. So whatever Allah has described Himself with, we confirm it. And whatever the Prophet ﷺ has described Him with in authentic hadith, then we confirm it. We accept it. However, we don't allow that confirmation of Allah having a face, we don't allow making comparison. Yani the confirmation, it is without comparison. We shouldn't make an example or a comparison between Allah and the creatures. Allah has a face, but His face is in accordance with His majesty and His greatness and His glory. Just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just as He has knowledge, but nobody imagines that the knowledge of Allah is like the knowledge of your professor or some scientist. We know for sure that Allah's knowledge is perfect and complete, and their knowledge, whatever level they have reached, it is imperfect and incomplete. So likewise, every characteristic of Allah that is confirmed in the Quran and Sunnah, we confirm it. We cannot escape from it. As you have mentioned, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is the basis of the methodology in this matter of Tawheed of Asma wa Sifat, of the people of Sunnah, the saying of Allah, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. In that ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has included negation. Negation of anything being like Him. An affirmation that He has the characteristics of hearing and seeing. So this is our manhaj, that we confirm what Allah has confirmed Him for Himself, while negating any comparison or similarity between the characteristics of Allah and the characteristics of the creatures. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ. There's nothing like Him. However, He is سَمِيعُ بَصِيرٌ. Naam. He is hearing and seeing. He has confirmed for Himself, and He has negated any comparison. So this is our way. It is the moderate path. It is the moderate path. We don't negate Allah's characteristics like those who have negated them and denied them. And we don't make comparison confirming it. We don't compare the characteristics of Allah with the creatures. But we take the middle course of confirming whatever He has confirmed for Himself and negating any comparison between Him and the creatures. And the books concerning this are many. The scholars have written volumes of books concerning this, contemporary scholars as well as the earlier scholars. If anybody is interested in it, then there are some books even that have been translated into English, which are very good by some of the contemporary scholars, which they can review these matters in them. Wallahu a'lam. Okay, our time is finished now. In fact, we have gone over time. So please forgive me for taking over time. If there's any other question that anyone wants to ask after we dismiss those who have to leave, then you can ask the question. If it is related to what we have discussed this evening, something that is left unclear, then let us clarify it before you leave. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.